The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Happy Easter, everyone. Great things in our lives we desire to celebrate. We mark them with special gatherings, and we desire to remember them so that the event that has occurred becomes present in our midst. In these days, the church has asked that we have 8 days, 8 Easter Sundays, what we call the Easter octave that culminates in this day. It is a day when we are to contemplate and receive and be pierced by the mystery of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To be pierced and transformed by the mystery of Christian freedom that is given to us by baptism and by the gift of faith. And it is the gift of faith that gives us the conquest of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who conquered death and sin, hell and Satan, and all those things that oppose love, all those things that oppose the truth of who we are. And the truth is communicated to us in the Spirit, who is truth. The Lord repeats to us in the greeting of the gospel the particular gift that he wishes to communicate to us today. We know that when something is important, we tend to repeat it. And there are certain things that we can't say enough of. And today the Lord says 3 times, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." My brothers and sisters, the path of peace is a gift. And the church celebrates today a particular feast that communicates to us the peace of Jesus Christ. And the feast was instituted by John Paul II. A man who was born in the center of a country that knew no peace. That very close to his own upbringing was a place that people would later call the city of death, Auschwitz-Birkenau. And we know that in the triad of saints from Krakow, of St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Faustina Kowalska, and the servant of God, John Paul II, that the Lord was determined to show the world who He is and the peace that He would communicate to us, so that in the face of the abolition of human dignity, of the absolute abuse of human freedom, of the final solution of reason applied so rationally that it would seek to execute and exterminate a human race, the Jewish people, the Slavic people, and others. From that place, the city of death, the Lord would communicate a particular grace. And it was the grace communicated to a nun named Maria Faustina. Maria received allocutions from the Lord that He said, "These are the days that I will manifest my mercy to humanity, and humanity will only find peace when it turns to my mercy." Faustina later wrote a diary, and the Archbishop of Krakow forbid its publication and circulation until Karol Wojtyła became Archbishop. And he read it as a young archbishop, and he was very moved by the words of St. Faustina. Later, when he became Pope, he understood that he was asked by the Lord to manifest and to communicate and to enflesh the gift that was communicated to St. Faustina. So he chose that the first saint to be canonized in the third Christian millennium, was the saint who would receive the title of the Apostle of Divine Mercy, St. Maria Faustina Kowalska. It is a particularly joyful memory for me because through the grace of a good friend who was very holy, and through the insistence of that friend, I was able to be there on the day of her canonization. And I didn't know who she was or what the message was, but I was able to hear the words of John Paul. The words have been saying that in this day and through these events and through the institution of a feast that St. Faustina requested, the gates of mercy will be open to humanity. And it is through the gates of mercy that we will discover true freedom. That finally we can put behind us, if we are open, a century which saw more bloodshed than all the centuries previous to it combined. And so that the third Christian millennium will be marked by an invitation of the Lord to experience His mercy. St. Faustina received in an allocution from the Lord that the Sunday following Easter Sunday would be called Divine Mercy Sunday, and that it would become a universal feast of the Church, which John Paul established, which we celebrate today. When the Church celebrates a feast, it is a time of a particular communication of the reality that we contemplate. So just as on Easter Sunday we contemplate, above all else, the resurrection of the Lord, that we desire to live and to move and to have our being in the light of the resurrection, which we also contemplate today. Today we contemplate the blood and the water that pours through His now glorified heart, His risen stature as our Lord, that gives us what He would say is His greatest title, access to His merciful heart. My brothers and sisters, Divine Mercy Sunday is a Sunday when we remember and where we desire to receive and to live out the path of human freedom. And there is a particular cycle associated with Divine Mercy. And it is the path of forgiveness, of healing, and of restoration. It is the path where the Lord desires that our own hearts become witnesses to His mercy. It is the path where we are able to drink deeply of His forgiveness for us. That there is no sin too great. There is no sin greater than the mercy of God. And the paradoxical logic of mercy, the one who sends the most is the one to whom the Lord most desires to give His mercy. The one who is most meritorious of His mercy. That logic is only can only be understood if we understood how precious our dignity must be in the eyes of the Lord. So we receive forgiveness primarily through the sacrament of reconciliation. And yet the sacrament of reconciliation is the beginning of the path of divine mercy. There is also healing, which we know many of us when we receive great injury in our lives. Certain sins that can leave a deep wound in our hearts. Having received forgiveness, we must also open ourselves to the healing of that wound. And so the wound becomes a place of particular surrender. If we're able to come repeatedly before the Lord and say, Lord, continue to heal me in your mercy. Claim me by my mercy, by your mercy. Renew me by your mercy. And there is also restoration. In the mystery of the redemption, our greatest sins and wounds by grace are transformed to become, as a miracle, our greatest gifts. It only works in the logic of the cross. But it is the truth of our faith. So that where we have most strayed from the Lord, where we have most been wounded, become our greatest treasures. So that the wounds of Jesus Christ received on the cross are His greatest treasures. Where He appears to the apostles and He says, peace be with you. And He shows the wounds in His hand and the wound in His side. And He speaks and breathes the Holy Spirit upon them. So that now His wounds become the channels and the gates of mercy with which He wishes to bathe and claim and renew us. And that mystery is not isolated to the Lord. It is particular to Him as the primary cause of salvation. But it is a mystery that He wishes each of us to experience. So in the first letter of John, the apostle can say, who is the conqueror of the world? The one who has faith in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, when we drink deeply of the Lord's mercy, when we receive His forgiveness, and begin to walk the path of healing, we become fountains of mercy. We become apostles of the divine mercy. We become sacred temples where the merciful and compassionate heart of Jesus Christ becomes accessible to others. And this is the wave of the new evangelization. This is the path that John Paul II sought to open with the canonization of St. Faustina Kowalska and the commemoration, the establishment of this feast, that through her intercession and through the return of the fountain, of our return to the fountain of His merciful heart, that we have become living images of His mercy. This is the path of human freedom, and it is the path of peace. Peace that lasts. The peace that no one can give except the Lord. And it is the peace that no human institution or authority can take away. It is the peace that He wishes to communicate to us on this day. The Feast of Divine Mercy, when the gates are definitively open to us to experience the realities we contemplate, to receive His mercy. And receiving His mercy to be made new, and to confess with Thomas, and to confess with the saints, and to confess as apostles of the new evangelization, apostles of the divine mercy, my Lord and my God.